Understand that when you are down to nothing, it's only because God is up to something.
Jonathan Evans reminds us, every situation we face is part of God's plan.
Now, it may not be your plan, but it's a good plan, and it's to give you a future and to give you a hope.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Not one of us is immune to wondering why we face certain struggles in our lives. But today, Jonathan Evans explains that God can turn any negative situation into something good for us and for those around us. Let's join him for this special message as he gives us a look at the big picture.
Each person in this room can look back and tell a story of how they've gotten to where they currently are. Today, I want to talk to you about one verse, and it's what I call a testimony for the ages. Because this verse spells out how that thing works. It spells out how a testimony works, how this church has gotten to where it is, how you've gotten to where you are, how I'm even able to stand on this stage right now and be where God has called me to be at this very moment. It's a testimony. It's found in Genesis 50, verse 20. Now, you're going to know it well. After I read this verse and say it out loud, you may make the church face because you know this is your verse. Joseph was looking at his brothers, and he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many lives." That right there is a testimony. He's looking back on his life, and he's recounting his story to get him to the place where he currently is, now at about 100 years old. He died at 110, and he's looking back and letting the people in his presence know, his brothers, that there was something bad that happened, but God was able to turn around and make it good. It was to bring me to the place where I'm currently standing, and the goal is always to preserve somebody's life. That's how the testimony works. That's how your testimony works. That's how Joseph's testimony worked. And he's letting us know, he's giving us some of his 20/20 vision and some of his hindsight, so that some of us that may be in the hard part or the pit part or the dark part, the empty part, the part that's hard, give you a little bit of some of his vision so that you don't give up. Because there's going to be somebody in the future that's going to be counting on your testimony. The reason why you're sitting in this room is because early on when things are tough, the church didn't give up. And now there are many people who are benefiting on the church's testimony. The fact that we can stand here for 42 years. But Joseph lets you know that this testimony, it's an investment that God makes in your life. He starts out by telling his brothers, "You meant it for evil." You know what he was talking about. You know the story. I just want to survey it for a second. He's talking about Genesis 37. You see, Joseph was the man who had favor from his father. His father loved him and gave him a robe or a tunic, a very colored tunic that represented dominion and authority, that represented his calling, that represented the fact that he had been handed rights, firstborn rights, even though he wasn't the firstborn. So he had that external evidence of the father's favor that he was wearing. But not only did he have that, Joseph had a dream. He was a visionary. He had a dream of things that he was thinking about, how high up he would go and that his brothers would actually be bowing down to him. And so somebody didn't give his brothers the memo that favor ain't fair. Somebody didn't let his brothers know that everybody doesn't get portioned out the same. It doesn't work like that. Matthew 25 wasn't written then, so they didn't know about the talents and the five and the two and the one. They didn't understand all of that, so they didn't get the memo that favor isn't fair. So when they saw that tunic and when they heard those dreams, they were jealous and they did not want Joseph to experience the calling on his life. So it says in Genesis 37, 23 and 24, that his brothers stripped him of his tunic, his very colored tunic, and then they threw him into the pit. And the pit was empty without any water in it. So here Joseph is going from having the father's favor to being stripped of the external evidence of the father's favor, then being thrown into a pit, and then being in a pit where he's not even getting the simplest of provisions, water, and feeling that it's empty. And so they stripped him of the external evidence of the Father's favor on his life. But why did they do that? Because they couldn't strip him of his dream. That's internal. So because they couldn't reach into his brain and strip him of his dream, that's what they wanted, they decided to strip him of the evidence of his dream so that his external body would never make it to his dream. See, this is a tactic of the enemy. John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to take your testimony from you. And the way that he does that is to strip you of the external evidence of the Father's favor in your life so that you will feel like you have lost the Father's favor in your life. And if I can make you feel like you have lost the Father's favor, then I can make you operate as if you do not have the Father's favor. So what the brothers were doing is they were stripping him externally, but it was so that they can get an internal result, get him into a pit where he can't move. That's what the enemy did with Job. You've read the story. He took his house. He took his family. He put boils on his skin. He did all of these external methods, but it was for an internal result. You need to deny God. My purpose is to try to get you to denounce God. It's not about all of these external things. I'm just using that as a vehicle. He did it with Adam and Eve. You see this fruit? You see that tree? He got him to think about the external, but the purpose was for internal sin, to mess up the world. He did it with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. He showed him the rock, turned it into bread. He showed them the kingdoms of this earth. I'll give them to you, but I need you to bow down and worship me. He's always trying to do something in our external world to strip us of what God is trying to do in the spiritual providential world. Just because you lose the external evidence of the Father's favor doesn't mean you don't still have the internal providence of what God is doing. We have to have clarity of vision, and Genesis 50 gives us clarity of vision based on this testimony, that God has a testimony for your life. He has a purpose for your life. It is not random. You are not here just to sit, soak, and sour in a random, mundane way of living. He can't create the universe and create a self-sustaining world based on the water from Antarctica when it melts and goes down so that we can have vegetation, so that we can still breathe and have all of these things that are working in unison like your body, but then create you for a random purpose. It doesn't work like that. God has a purpose for your life. If he didn't, you wouldn't be sitting in here. But what the enemy wants you to do is think otherwise when he puts you in that pit. Oh, I'm not going to make it. I'm not really sure that I'm not going to get there. I don't really know if God has my back. I feel forgotten. This isn't for me. I see what everybody else is doing, but my vision is fuzzy because I don't see what God is doing in my life. That is a tactic of the enemy to ruin your Genesis 50 experience. I don't know if you've ever been to a superhero movie and the movie didn't have no villain or no problem. Oh, that's a dumb movie. Nobody want to watch no superhero movie where he just flying around just because he got power. He needs to be able to fix something in order to throw on a super to his hero. And the reason why we know we serve a superhero, because we stand in it 42 years, is because there were some problems that he redirected. It said that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. In other words, we're talking about the same Genesis 37 experience, but God changed the meaning of the same experience. Because we're talking about the same thing, but God is a meaning changer. He comes into the problem and he changes your testimony from a problem to a praise. Let me show you how he did that for Joseph. Joseph was stripped in chapter 37. But in chapter 41, you see 41 verses 42, starting there, you see that Pharaoh takes off his signet ring and gives it to Joseph, puts it on his hand. Then Pharaoh clothes Joseph with a royal robe. Then Pharaoh puts a necklace around his neck. Now, the necklace, the royal robe, and the ring mean that you share the authority of Pharaoh. it says that when you come through, everybody's going to bow their knee. Because Joseph had dreams that got him stripped, but he also had dreams that got him equipped. Don't you know that God will allow you to endure a stripping? But it's only because he's trying to position you in the, for a future equipping. Understand that when you are down to nothing, it's only because God is up to something. We got to understand that what you're going through is for a testimony. Somebody's life is going to be preserved by your story, so you can't give up. He's telling his brothers, you meant it for evil, but don't worry, it's okay, because God meant this thing for good. So God re-equipped him even though he was stripped. You got that? But I want to show you how else God took that same scenario to turn it and make it good. That's why people are passionate about things they previously experienced. Have you ever noticed that your passion to help somebody comes from the very thing you used to struggle with? God uses that and turns it upside down so that you can have a testimony to preserve somebody's life. Realize, this is not just about you.
Jonathan Evans will share with us a trying personal story from his family when he continues today's message in just a moment. Stay with us.
How well do you know God? Is he an acquaintance, or is he at the level of a good friend? Maybe you know him as well as you know your spouse. Think about it. How well do you truly know God? Dr. Tony Evans' newest book, Knowing God, is about pursuing a connection with the one who can truly meet your physical and emotional needs. Visit TonyEvans.org and get your copy of the book, Knowing God, along with a DVD and Bible study. That's at TonyEvans.org.
You know, God is ready to give us as deep a relationship with him as we actually want, and we really can know God. Tony has a collection of 8 messages available on CD and digital download that'll stir up your spiritual hunger and show you how it can be satisfied. For a limited time, we'll send you this entire Knowing God collection as our gift in appreciation for your contribution toward Tony's work here on the radio and around the world. And if we hear from you right away, we'll include his brand new book, The Power of Knowing God, plus the interactive study guide and resource DVD that'll help you get the most out of it. Again, it's our way of saying thanks for making this listener-supported ministry possible. Just visit TonyEvans.org to get the details and make the arrangements before time runs out. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222 and speak with one of our helpful resource team members. They're ready to help you around the clock. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have that contact information for you again after part 2 of today's message and this.
We have people with different backgrounds, different heritages. What will bring things together so that chaos doesn't rule?
Dr. Tony Evans' book, Oneness Embraced, provides the biblical prescription for racial reconciliation.
God's goal is the advancement of his kingdom, and in order to advance it properly, he has black Christians and white Christians, and they all should be shooting toward the same goal.
A proven pathway toward lasting unity, Oneness Embraced. Available now at TonyEvans.org.
Our first child, for all of you pregnant ladies in the room right now, this won't be your story. But it wasn't her fault. We got induced with Kelsey probably a week before she was scheduled to be born because they said she was going to be a big baby. And sure enough, she came out at 8'8". So if we would have waited a week, she might have hit that 9. Okay, our two sons were 9'5 and 9'1. So we ain't playing no games. But we went in and they laid down and they gave her medication. That medication had a negative effect on my wife. She had contractions with no breaks. So she would have, exactly, all the ladies that had babies were like, that's whack. So her contractions are going up because I'm looking at it on the monitor. And then it's falling down and I see her breathing. Shoom, and that thing goes right back up. And she would say, oh Lord, here it comes again. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, this is... And I'm thinking, you know, I'm saying out loud, I wish I could take it from you. I wish I could. In my mind, I'm like, man, forget about that. That ain't. I can say that now. I kept it in then. That's not right. There ain't no heroes around here. We're going. Then we went through 16 hours of labor. Okay, this is not going to be your experience, though. And then finally, the baby came, and it was just, yay, you know, we were tired. It was. So I had already shut down in my mind that because of this experience we just had, we done. We won and out of there. I'm pretty sure that my wife is not going to want to do this again. After going through that type of experience, we can't. So after about 10 months passed, she came to me and she said, I'm ready for number two. I said, I said, but don't you remember what happened with number one? Don't you remember? She said, I remember, but look at this baby. So what she was looking at overrode what she remembered about the pain of the birth. So I said, are you sure you want to do this? And she said, I'm sure I want to do this. It was the baby. See, when God delivers what he's going to deliver in your life, you'll look at that baby and say, oh, it was worth it. Let's do this thing again. There is a testimony. And he said, it was so good that I can't even remember my troubles in my father's household. That God is trying to do something in your life. He's trying to birth something and produce something and bring fruit about, but you can't quit. You can't throw in the towel in the middle of your testimony, or the stripping from the enemy would have won. That he's taken you down, and you never lost the Father's favor just because you lost a little bit of physical evidence. Physical evidence doesn't override God's spiritual providence. So never get it twisted as you're walking through this life that I got to keep going, because somebody's life is going to be preserved based on my testimony. Let me tell you a story about my testimony just for a second. Everybody knows my dream was to play in the NFL. I wanted to play in the NFL, and I told God, just allow me to run out the tunnel. I just wanted that opportunity to play a few games in the NFL. And I got a chance. I was picked up in the 2005 draft class by the Dallas Cowboys. But 3 weeks into being equipped, I was stripped. I walked up to the door, and the guy that we call the Grim Reaper, he stepped out and put his hands on my chest. Then he reached out and he took the playbook. He didn't say a word. He just pointed that way. Because you know what that means. He just going back. Now, I only had 20 minutes to mope because I'm playing for the Cowboys. I'll be home in 20 minutes. So it's not like I got a flight to cry about it. No, I've got to go home and try to reassemble. And then I got a call from the San Diego Chargers. I said, okay, God, let's make this thing happen. Let's make this dream come to life. And then they said, but we're going to allocate you to NFL Europe so that you can develop. I was like, develop? I don't need to develop. So I go to this NFL Europe league, and things keep going downhill. We're in training camp, and you have a two-hour practice. Then they let you take off your helmet and eat a banana and an apple, put it back on, and go do another two-hour practice. I said, this ain't for me. I don't want to do this. We're out there in Tampa. It's hot. We finally fly to Germany. It's white walls, white sheets, no English-speaking channels for several months. I wanted to quit. I called my dad, and I told him, I said, I'm going to quit football. I'm out. I'm done. This is not for me. So I said, book a flight because I don't have no money. I need you to book this ticket so I can get home, because this is not for me. I can't handle this stripping that I'm going through. My favor, it seems like it's been lost or gone. I need to go home. So he said, are you sure, son? I said, I'm really sure. Book the ticket. He booked the ticket. I go sit in the coach's office and tell him I'm going home. He said, well, we really don't want you to go home because you're a good player. I said, literally, I don't care what you want. It's Jonathan Evans talk. I care less what you want, because I was frustrated, and I'm 22 years old, 23 years old. I'm going home right now. And he said, well, you can't go home right now because you haven't done your exit physicals. You can do your exit physical tomorrow night, because that's a liability. You let a player go home before he does his exit physicals, they can come back and say I was hurt on the job and try to get paid that way. So I called my dad and said, I can't go home till tomorrow night. My dad said, don't you think it's interesting? I said, oh, Lord, here goes this philosopher. that you couldn't leave when you wanted to leave? He said, so I want you to do something for me. I want you to go out to one more practice, and I want you to ask God if he wants you there, in spite of whether you think you want to be there. So I went back out to that practice, and I kid you not, in the practice, I was crying. You know when you're really crying because you can't control your neck? Because I don't want to be there. This is a pit for me. It's a pit experience. But I asked God, if you want me to be here, then you're going to have to give me a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I kid you not, the next time I put my hand in the dirt, that's exactly what I felt. Made the next play and turned around and looked at my coach and I said, I'm staying. And he said, okay, great. I don't know where this came from. But then I realized by the end of the season, my teammates had given me a new nickname. They called me Rev. 7 players accepted Jesus Christ. So now I know the business transaction that has to take place to get on the field in the NFL. Oh, so all I got to do is pray for people and lead people to Jesus. Now you're going to let me run out the tunnel, right? So I'm young. So I'm trying to manipulate God for him to put me in the palace where I see myself. So I go to the Titans. I do it what God has called me to do, but I still get cut. I go to the Washington Redskins. I do it, but I still get cut. But finally, in 2011, I'm standing in the tunnel. I circle back around to the Dallas Cowboys. And I call my dad, and I said, Dad, we did it. We're here. I'm about to run out the tunnel for the first time. And my dad said, amen, son. Yes. Amen. Now, what you should be wondering is, why in the world you got your cell phone in the tunnel? Because the first time I ran out of the tunnel for my first NFL game, I wasn't the player, I was the chaplain. Because God has a plan for your testimony. Now, it may not be your plan, but it's a good plan. And it's to give you a future and to give you a hope.
Jonathan Evans, reminding us that God has our best interests at heart when we allow him to do his work in our lives. But if you've never asked him to do that, here's Dr. Evans to tell us why it's so important.
The greatest need in all of our lives is for the forgiveness of sins. And there's only one person who can do that. That's Jesus Christ. That's why he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And he offers forgiveness of sins. If you're carrying guilt for what you've done, fear for what you've done, Jesus Christ is right here, right now. If you go to him, confess your sinfulness to him and trust him to forgive you, he will do it on the spot and also grant you eternal life.
Find out more about what it means to start a personal relationship with God. Visit TonyEvans.org and follow the link that simply says Jesus. You'll find everything you need, including a personal invitation from Dr. Evans and some free resources to get your new life started off right. While you're there, you can request a full-length copy of today's special message from Jonathan Evans, which includes material we haven't had time to present on the air. Just look for the message called Testimony for the Ages. You can also take advantage of our special offer on Tony's entire 8-message collection called Knowing God, along with a copy of his brand new book, The Power of Knowing God. Yours is our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help keep his teaching on this station. And as a special bonus, we'll also include the DVDs from this series and a companion study guide if you contact us before time runs out. Again, you'll find us online at TonyEvans.org or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are standing by to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain why our relationship with God is exactly as deep as we want it to be and what we can do if we'd like to see a change. I hope you'll be back with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.